Philemon chapter 1, verse 1 to 7. Philemon chapter 1, verse 1 to 7. There is a title for us, the Reconciliation Grace, part 1. The Reconciliation Grace, part 1. Also, another title that I like to give, it's the Gospel of Reconciliation. This is going to be the title for the whole letter. This whole letter, it's a very short letter, Philemon. Everybody's at Philemon? Everybody found it? Good. This is going to be the title for the whole letter. Because there is only really one subject in this letter, which is the reconciliation of the gospel. We just finished Colossians. And why am I doing Philemon now? Because Philemon was the elder of Colossians. So all that we learned about Colossians is very applicable for this man, Philemon. Okay? But before we go to talk more about that, let us read verse 1 to 3. It's our introduction. Verse 1 says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Very quick introduction so that we start to understand this letter. Who is Paul? Paul is the apostle. He's writing this letter from the prison, as you already know. He's being home arrested in Rome, and he's writing this letter. He already wrote Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, and this is the fourth letter he wrote it. So, from the prison. Who is Philemon? I just mentioned to you. He is the elder of the Church of Colossians. He is also a wealthy guy. Everybody with me? Wealthy man. Philemon, pay attention to this information. He owns slaves. This is the crucial information about the letter. He owns slaves. Are we okay up to here? That's introduction, verse 1 to 3. Before we go ahead to verse 4 to 7, now it's the thesis of this letter. Not of the letter, but the thesis of the sermon today as an introduction. Everybody looking at me? From employee to employer. Did you got the thesis? Easy. Illustration. If I go to Walmart and I buy some product from Walmart, I am a consumer. If I want to have a better relationship with Walmart, I can go give my resume and start working there. And then I became a worker, employee. But tecnologia give us grace today. I can go, oh, my phone, where's my phone? Here. I can go on my phone and I can go on the stock market and I can put some money, invest some money in Walmart. And now I'm no longer a consumer, a worker. Now I became a shareholder. The thesis from employee to employer. Remember that. My friend Igor, can you bring the first point for us? Always, as I like to do to my congregation, because I love you so much, I make things easy. all P, prayer, and you're going to see the second one, it's partnership, and the third one, it's, perspective, yes. I was like, performance, no, perspective. All P's. First one, it's prayer. Let us read verse 4 to 7. What's the kind of prayer the Apostle Paul prays for Philemon? I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. The first thing the Apostle Paul is implementing in Philemon, because what the Apostle Paul is doing, it's to change the way Philemon sees the world. Because Philemon has a challenge here. He owns slaves, and one of his slaves, named Onesimus, he cheated Philemon. He defrauded him. Very most likely, he robbed Philemon. And what did Onesimus do? He runs away to Rome. Why does he go to Rome? Because Rome is just like Toronto. There is a lot of people. There is a lot of kinds of people. You see CEOs, you see regular employees, Canadians, immigrants, people who speak English, people who speak English like Gustavo, people who speak zero English. So Philemon went there to become an unknown. I'm going to hide myself in the crowd. Philemon will never see me again. We don't know why. We like to call it divine providence. But Onesimus thought of going to talk to Paul. He knows Paul is a famous guy in Christianity. Philemon is a Christian. He knows Paul is arrested because of Christ. And he knows Paul is the leader of Christianity. Somehow he goes to talk to Paul. And Paul introduces him to the most important person ever. Who is that person? Jesus Christ. That's right. And Jesus changed the heart of Onesimus. Onesimus believed. Onesimus is saved. And Onesimus, the slave who was a former robber, he becomes a fellow. He becomes family. He becomes useful and loyal. So now Paul is writing this letter to send Onesimus back to Philemon. Hey, your former servant who robbed you, who cheated you, now he's coming back. And here is the thesis. You cannot receive him as an employee anymore, because guess what? He became family. You can't see him the way you used to see him. You need a change of mind. So he starts his prayer saying, I always thank God for you, Philemon. And this is not a flattering tongue. You know flattering tongue? People usually have flattering tongue around the boss, because they want things from the boss. So they say, you're so nice. You're so amazing. You look good. And the guy is ugly, but you look good. And you know, flattering tongue. But that's not what Paul is doing here. How do I know that? Because verse 5 is going to talk to us about two traits Philemon have. What is the first trait? I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. You see that Paul is very wise. He's already leading Philemon to where he wants to lead Philemon. He's saying, you are faithful, because Philemon is going to need to be faithful. Onesimus is coming back, and Onesimus come back to Philemon with a petition, with a request from Paul that needs to be accepted. And Philemon also needs to be loving. If Philemon treats well Colossians, which is the church that meets in his house, if Philemon treats his slaves well, now he's going to be put to test. He's going to need to treat someone who has wronged him well. What is the Apostle Paul doing here? I don't have kids. You, I believe, have kids. Pay attention to this. We have a teacher in the house. Pay attention to this. If you want the kid to succeed, you need to build the identity of the kid. If you keep telling the kid, you're dumb, you're dumb, you're dumb, guess what? They're going to fail. But if you come to the kid, you're intelligent, you're wise, you're a student, you're one of the best in class, I know you're going to succeed, I know you're going to do well, most likely that kid is going to do well. And when the day that kid doesn't do well, he comes like Gustavo used to come to Mama. Mama, failed. How does Mama do? Because Mama is amazing. Everybody agrees with that, right? Mama does. Gustavo, I know you are a student. Intelligent. Capable. This seed, this fail that you have in hands, it's not who you are. I'm pretty sure the next one is going to be A, because A is who you are. Do you see that? Can I become a psychologist? That's what Paul is doing to Philemon. Philemon, you're loyal and loving. Why? Paul is going to put him to test. He's really going to need to be faithful and loving, but his identity is built up. That's who you are. It's not going to be something hard for you, Philemon. It's going to be easy because that's who you are. He builds Philemon up in his prayer. That's the very first thing he's already doing to Philemon's mind. The second thing, and maybe this is the core of today's sermon, and the core, the foundation for the whole letter, is the next word. Second point, it's partnership. And we're going to see partnership in the verse 6. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. Remember what I start the sermon? If I invest in Walmart, I become a what? Shareholder. This word sharing here is the word partner. You saw the difference? From employee to employer. From employee or consumer to shareholder. This word, it's the Greek word koinonia. Raise your hand if you have ever heard about the word koinonia. Raise your hand and foot if you never heard about this word. So, there are some churches that has that name, koinonia. You want to know, literally speaking, what koinonia means? Fellowship. I'm going to say a word that you definitely know. Communion. When we partake the bread and the wine of the Lord, what we are having? We are having communion. We are having partnership. We are having fellowship. We are having family with Christ. Are we all in the same page? That's the word koinonia, and that's why it's the root of this sermon. And that word, it's so powerful. Pay attention to verse 6. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding. Sometimes we stop. You know, our understanding stop. For example, some people see Jesus historically, but they cannot see Jesus as a Savior, as a Lord, spiritually, as the Son of God. Some people are okay with the idea of heaven, but not okay with the idea of hell. You see how our understanding can be cut, and we have partial understanding. Taking money as an example, I always see 10% as God's money, but I always thought that 90% was mine. So I went and I did everything I want with the money. But then Christ gave me the understanding that, hey, my son, 10% is mine and 90% is mine too. So please make sure you use it wisely. But if you came to talk to me about money, yes, yes, I would shut you off. I know it. I'm a generous guy. That's all I need. And God's talking, don't stop it. Full understanding. So Paul here is asking for a full understanding. And what is that full understanding? Reminds us of the thesis. I told you about Walmart. Now I'm going to tell you about any employee. If the employee makes whatever wage he makes and he works for 40 hours every week, that's his salary. The company made $1 million profit. What's his salary? His salary. The company made $10 million profit. What is his salary? The same salary. The company make $1 billion profit. What's his salary? His salary. Unchanged. It is what it is. And what is Paul is preparing on Philemon to? Philemon, I'm sending someone back. And you used to treat him as, I'm paying you for your service, but not anymore. Now he's becoming a partner. Now he's becoming a shareholder. Now he's becoming a family. You cannot treat him that way anymore. Now he has shares with you. And obviously, I'm not speaking financially, I'm speaking spiritually. Because as Onesimus was his worker, now Onesimus became also a Christian. Are we all on the same page? And this leads us to a very important statement. Christian life, it's personal, but it's not private. Pay attention to this. Christian life, it's personal. Salvation is personal, but it's not private. I believe we sometimes misunderstand the two. We think that Christianity, it's private. And you see that a lot when you try to talk to someone, when you try to discipline someone, when you try to redirect someone and he shuts you and say what? I know. I do me. I believe in Christ. I do my way. I believe in Jesus. And then he shuts you, believing that Christianity is private. When it's not private, it's personal, but it's never private. Are we all understanding this? Why am I telling you this? Because Philemon, his Christianity is personal, But now he has an issue that it's a work issue. Philemon has a personal salvation, but now he has a house situation. The church meets at his house, and the employee who has wronged Philemon is coming back. And depending on the way Philemon treats that man, it's going to affect everybody, including a fellow brother. So Christianity, it's personal, but definitely not private. And Paul is saying, Philemon, your life is not your own anymore. Philemon, you have a Savior and Lord. Philemon, you cannot see people now in the perspective of a businessman, in the perspective of a politician. You see people now through the lens of Christ. And he implements that. And that leads us to our third point, which is the perspective change of Philemon. Let us see if it's on the screen. It is. Paul now, after he calls that, what is the fully understanding that Paul is talking about here? Philemon, I want you to understand that we are partners, that we have communion in three ways. And usually that's the three ways we all have. First way, it's between Paul and Philemon. Philemon now needs to see Paul as a partner, as a shareholder. Because maybe Philemon had this idea in mind. The Apostle Paul is the great. He is the leader. He is the man. I'm just an elder. I'm just a fruit of the labor of the Apostle Paul. I'm just a result of the Apostle Paul. I'm just a young pastor. There was an older pastor than me who has done way more than me, who has done better than me. I'm just a little pastor. And Paul is saying, we sharing this together. That's not the way you're going to see our relationship. That's not the way you're going to see ministry. We are in this together. I'm not above you. You're not above me. I'm not under you. You're not under me. We are co-partners. The second way that we fully understand what's koinonia, what's the sharing from employee to employer, it's Onesimus. Philemon always had in his mind, Onesimus is my servant. Onesimus is my employee. Onesimus, I tell him and he obeys. I give him job and he obeys. I make the big profit and I give him whatever salary it is. I see Onesimus on that way. Onesimus is under me. Now Paul is changing that perspective as well. No. Onesimus, now it's a partner with you. Onesimus, now it's family with you. Onesimus now eat at the same table as you, the bread and the wine, the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. You ought not to treat Onesimus that way. But finally, what's the last understanding Philemon's having? Pay attention to this. Before the eyes of Jesus Christ, all of us, no matter if you're the boss, no matter if you're the owner, no matter if you're the apostle, the pastor, the elder, in the eyes of Jesus Christ, we are all under Jesus Christ. In the relationship, in the koinonia, in the partnership we have with Jesus Christ, he is the only one shareholder. We are all employees. We are all servants. Onesimus, the same way Philemon used to see Onesimus, now it's the way Philemon needs to see himself. I am just a servant, just as Onesimus, just as Paul. under Jesus Christ. But lastly and finally, Philemon has a big change of mind here, and that's what Paul is doing here. Our master is nice. Although we are servant, he no longer calls us a servant. What does he call us? Friends. Although we are servants of Jesus Christ, he no longer calls us a servant. He calls us family. Those are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Philemon now needs to be that same kind of master to Onesimus. You see, all the areas, personally, work-wise, and ministerially, Philemon needed a change of mind before even Paul brings Onesimus on the table. And to conclude this sermon, I want to conclude it with an illustration that speaks about this sermon. Supposing I go to drive and somebody hits my car in the back. Who is at fault? Who hits in the back? It's at fault. I can act with him four ways. First way, vengeance. I can get the golf club that I have in my trunk and the baseball bat that I have in my trunk, and I go out of the car and I go to the windshield and pah! Who believe I would ever do that? There's some in the house. Oh, man. That's vengeance. The second way we could resolve this is justice. And we usually like that one, right? When we are wronged, we like only the word justice. And what is justice? You hit me in the back, you pay. Period, simple, justice is done, no headache. Third way we can deal with it, we can apply mercy. You hit me in the back, I know you are broke, I don't want you to waste money. Go in peace and sin no more. I'll fix the damage myself. Mercy. But we can also lead and deal with it with grace. You hit me. My car is damaged. Your car is damaged. You don't pay. I'll pay for my car and yours. And we are doing with that with grace. Philemon now is receiving a guy who hit him in the back, who cheated him, and he has his four options. You vengeance, or you do justice. And what is justice back in the day? You go to prison. I may even apply death penalty to you. Or you do mercy. You know, Paul, keep him with you. I forgive him. But I forgive him from far. He stays there. He's good in Rome. Maybe he's going to rob you in the prison. But what does Philemon do? Grace. I take him back. I'm going to spoil a little bit the letter. You don't know this through the letter, but you just know this through church history. Onesimus become an elder in the church. So he went from employee, slave, to the elder. Because Philemon did grace, gave grace to that man. And because Paul was able to change the mind of Philemon. He's no longer servant. He's no longer under you. He's now what? Beside you, next to you. Just like husband and wife, you are in this together. If you fail, Philemon, Onesimus fail. If you win, Philemon, Onesimus win. Vice and versa. And that's the picture of the gospel. I don't know if you know this. This is the only letter that it's a personal letter in scriptures. You know, a personal letter that should be private. It's the only one that it was canonized. that it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Why? How? Because it's the picture of the gospel. You and I were the slaves who hit and run away. You and I are the ones who have fled the house of our father. And now we need to meet someone who is going to intercede for us, who's going to plead for us, who's going to act for us. And who is that person? Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ brings us home and changes our life. I remember that you as a Christian, me as a Christian, we can do life with God two ways. You can understand that you have koinonia with Him, or you can understand yourself as an employee of God. I do my holiness, I'm doing well. I'm not doing my holiness, I'm going to be penalized. I do some work and I get God's approval. I do not do some works and I get God's disapproval. That's not the way Philemon needs to receive Onesimus. That's not the way the Christian life should be done. How is the way the Christian life should be done? You are my partner. You are my koinonia. You are my family. You're a son. You're a daughter. You're a family. You're no longer a slave to sin. You're no longer a stranger. You're a family. Come here and let's do the Christian life. Once someone has that change of mind, his Christian life changes. But once they don't have, Christianity can become burdensome. Do you know Christians who, you know, always grumpy, always tired? It's probably because their mindset is still, I'm an employee of God. And you want to know what the Christians, you know, that Christianity, it's joyful, it's good, it's happy, it's all for Christ. It's when they understand that I am God's son. I am His, and I'm safe in Him. And because of that, I'm doing what I do. I live the life I live. And I love Him the way I do. Does that make sense? That's all that it's Philemon all about. Amen.